Well, I don't know about you guys, but part of our family tradition is we often do travel and go around and look at the different Christmas lights in the best decorated homes in Vancouver. And so if you look on the slide here, I've just picked up a few, show you a few here. But there actually is a website that has a list of the best decorated Christmas homes in 2022. And so one of them, the one with the big tree over there, apparently that's in Port Coquitlam. It really does look like that, yeah. And then the other one with the on the top left there, right, I guess, your left, my right, that's in Burnaby. And then the other one at the bottom there is Canuck House. And so they do a really good decoration as well. Well, I don't know. My house, when I decorate, it does not look like that. So don't bother coming to my neighborhood, okay? It's so sad, actually. I was just saying yesterday that some of my neighbors, as soon as Remembrance Day was over, the lights came out. I was like, wow, okay. Okay, so we love Christmas lights. And according to money.com, Americans spend upwards of $300 on lights for a small home and up to $1,000 on large homes. I don't know, like, do you guys get new lights every year? I don't know. There's a TV show entitled Great Christmas Light Fight. It's on ABC if you watch television. And apparently the contestants there spend upwards of $3,000 or more to decorate their homes. As one contestant states, it's not about the money. It's about putting on these awesome productions and giving someone a tradition that they can come back to year after year and be wowed. You know, I can certainly appreciate the idea of giving folks an annual tradition to look forward to. And who doesn't want to be wowed by these amazing displays? But I also wonder if some of these contestants on these shows have missed the point of Christmas and Christmas lights. About 10 years ago, I was invited to be part of an interfaith conference. The theme of that year's conference was on light. And if you weren't aware, many other world religions associate light with their religion. For example, recently we just had the holiday for the Hindus, which is Diwali, or as I know it in Malaysia, it's called Deepavali. And also we're going to be having Hanukkah in a little bit here. And so Diwali is the Hindu festival of lights. It originated, or the legend goes, that it's to do with their god, Lord Rama. And after he has defeated his enemy, he needed a way to come back to his people. And so the Hindus laid out this track, basically, of lights. And that's what drew him back from the underworld, back to the land of the living, and that's what the lights are for. So it's basically a way home. So this lights, as I mentioned, signifies the triumph of good over evil. It represents good, knowledge, and purity. And on the other hand, darkness symbolizes ignorance and impurity. Then we have Hanukkah. Hanukkah is a Jewish holiday. It recalls the miracle of when the Israelites rededicated the temple in 165 BC. The story goes that they had only enough oil to light the candle for one night, but it lasted 8 days, and that's why the menorah has 8 candles. Light, then, represents hope, knowledge, and positive things. For without light, one is helpless to do anything at all. Now, in Judaism, God is light, but not in the way that we as Christians believe, but rather the light that is represented is in God is that he just allows them to see what is right and good. However, as our brother Clarence shared with us this morning, light is not just a representation of God, but rather God is the light. And that light is Jesus. Again, to repeat the passage that he read in Gospel of John, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. In verse 1, John uses the word Word, with a capital W, or in the Greek, Logos, to describe Jesus, which has more meaning than just knowledge. Going back to Genesis chapter 1, 1-5, Jesus is actually the divine word. He is that spoken word that reflects Yahweh's act of speaking the universe into existence. I know it's hard for us to really comprehend this, but when God said, "Let there be light," that act of speaking, the word of "let there be light," was referencing Jesus. Jesus dispels darkness to allow life to begin. In the Advent, Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah who is born with the authority and the power to dispel both spiritual and physical darkness because he was there at the beginning of creation. Think about that for a moment, that he was there, that he is the light that God spoke into existence. As the light of humanity, Jesus can grant life to those who are walking in or experiencing darkness as his life, as his light offers salvation and spiritual awakening to the reality of God. I think we can all recognize the darkness in this world that surrounds us. And if we allow it, this darkness can consume us. The good news of Jesus' birth, the hope that we have, is that despite the darkness of suffering in our fallen world, we can still experience the wonder of light. Light is always stronger than darkness. Maybe some of us here can recall a couple of months ago when we invited Nikki White to come and share with us about prayer and how she talked about that in our prayer life, that we are essentially dispelling darkness in the spiritual realm. And she used the example of the candle in that room downstairs where we had it all in darkness. And in that darkness, she lit this little candle, and the amount of light that was emanating from that little candle really illustrates what it is that we talk about when we talk about how Jesus as the light is stronger than darkness. When you light this candle, essentially what's happening is that there's these photons that we can't see, but they can dispel this darkness. But the darkness, interestingly, can't dispel light. Spiritually, the light of hope can dispel the darkness of despair, even in our toughest situations. We can trust Jesus to encourage and guide us in the dark and to redeem our suffering for good purposes. Jesus is a trustworthy and powerful light. And I like to repeat John 1, verse 4-5 in the New Living Translation, because it reads this way, which I think really illustrates another aspect of this light. "The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. As Christ is the light who shines, and we who are his disciples are little Christ, we carry his light into the world. The light shines in our hearts. For though original sin took away the likeness of God, the image of God still remains in every human being. The light shines in the hearts of those who are in the state of grace, and those who live love according to the light that has been given to them. The light shines from the lives of the saints, from their works and their words, from their eyes and from their hearts, from every part of them, even what they've touched. I believe this is what Jesus meant when he said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." To the original audience, Jesus was reminding the Israelites of their role to be the light to the nations. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6, it says this, "I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations." Further down in Isaiah 49, verse 6, "It is too light a thing," it's too easy, essentially, "that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel. I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." The light shone on the people of Israel, and the light has attracted the nations to the side of the manger to honor the birth of Jesus, to hear the words of angels, to witness the veneration of wise men and the awe of shepherds. However, as his light bearers, it is us that it falls onto the question of what has extinguished our light. Do we feel that our light has been extinguished? As I said before, we recognize the darkness in our times, and if we allow it, those darkness can overcome us. What is that that extinguishes your light? Could it be global wars, financial insecurity, or just the stress beyond bearing by the sufferings and needs of so many billions? The good news today is that the light shone. The light still shines, and the light will shine until the end of the world. Can we have an amen to that?
Amen.
All right? The light has shone, still shines, and will shine until the end of the world. Past all the trials and tribulations, all the assaults of sin and death and hell, still the nativity will be a sign of hope, of the strength of a babe in a manger, of the world-conquering power, of the quiet fidelity and sanctity of his earthly mother and father, and of the place where wisdom and humility will ultimately lead. Our challenge today is that we want to be the transparent bearers of that light this Christmas, shining with rays of mercy to all in need. May the Christ child Jesus be born in the Bethlehem of our hearts, and so be born by us to all the world. And how do we live that out? Well, last week, as I shared with us, we have our praying points, our rallying points. And so I would like to lean into that as we think about what it means to be the light bearers of Jesus into our world today. Our first rallying point is prayer that connects us. Prayer connects us to God. Prayer connects us as a body. And so, reminding again what Nikki taught us, that when we pray, we light up the darkness of the spiritual world. And in that way, we also impact our physical world as well. Shalom between generations. Christmas is a time when generations come together and are open up to the idea of a religious or a spiritual experience. Perhaps this is a time that we can speak into the lives of our family and our friends, and definitely across generations, where they perhaps have no concept of what Christmas is all about, or why even there's a thing of Jesus' birth and why we celebrate it. Building one another up. Maybe we can encourage one another by sharing stories of what Christmas and who Christ means to us. When we encourage one another in this way, we're basically encouraging one another through the sharing of the light, who is Jesus. I'm so encouraged today. I have my friend Lydia today, who's from SIM, and she's going to be encouraging us. So she's going to build us up today by giving us some instruction, some encouragement on how we bring God or Jesus into everyday conversations. And lastly, bridging cultures for Jesus. I end as I began to encourage you to take the opportunity to share who Jesus the light means to you, as other religions also share in their observance of the divine, though they may not have that same concept of the idea that light is not just a reflection of who God is, but in our faith, in our belief, that God and is the light. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning. I thank you, Father God, that we can appreciate who you are. We thank you for the light that you have shone into our lives. And Father, as we have come to you and we have placed our faith and trust in your Son, Jesus, who is the light at the beginning and will be the light at the end, Father God, may we be your light bearers to the world today. Show us how in each of our lives, how we can be light to others. By showing more compassion, by loving, by giving. Father God, use us. Help us, Lord, to be people who have the courage to step out in faith, to be able to show again the light of your Son Jesus in our dark world. Amen.